lesson today is from Luke 21, 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. The words of God for the people of God.
Well, as you can see, once again, it's the first Sunday of Advent. So it's a special season in the church. I do want to thank Sandra and Lisa and Terry, who were here this week and got this all set up and ready for us. Yeah. Appreciate their work in getting that done. Just looks beautiful. It's always a special time this season. Now, for the next 3 months, we're actually, up until Easter, we're going to follow the lectionary passages, which is kind of, I tend to dip into for Christmas and generally for Easter. And I thought this year, heck, let's just run with it Christmas through Easter. And so those are our Christian seasons. The lectionary is scriptures that remind us of these special seasons. Now, I have always thought that the first week of Advent, the lectionary passages are always a little bit weird, always a little bit different. Like when I think of Christmas and baby Jesus, these passages tend to kind of make me think, huh, what's going on here? And so I actually had a picture made to kind of capture this first Sunday in Advent. If you want to bring my picture up, this is an AI generated picture. I let artificial intelligence do the work for me here, and I actually, when I had this picture designed, I asked for two things. I asked it to kind of combine two things and make a picture. Who can tell me what my two requests were of AI in designing this picture? What do you see? What? Did you say baby Jesus, right? The manger scene. So you got the manger scene, which is really fitting. It's where we're heading. It's what we were singing about. What's the other thing in the background? What's going on there? Light versus dark. Animals. Yeah, the first and second coming, kind of this apocalyptic, like the word was apocalypse. I'm like, hey, AI, make me a picture and combine baby Jesus with the apocalypse. And this is what it came up with, that kind of apocalyptic view. And so the scripture reading in the first week is generally always like an end times type passage, a second coming type passage, one that says to us, look, you better get ready, just like the choir said, you better get ready. Beware the signs that the end of times is near, and when Jesus comes back, don't let him find you unprepared for this, unprepared for his coming. Don't let that happen, right? And you can almost feel, I feel a little bit of the tension in that theology with our understanding of grace. And what I mean by that is that, I know that we're saved by grace, not by the works that we do. when Jesus comes and sees us in that day. I know that Jesus died for my sins. And I know that because of the epistles. I know that because of the apostles. That's Apostle Paul stuff, right? That's all Apostle Paul stuff. Jesus died for your sins, and this being this understanding of the gospel. And yet, I've sometimes said Jesus and Apostle Paul seem to be working different sides sometimes. And Jesus is always worried about kingdom work. Like, what's the kingdom work that we are about? And so he put his apostles and his disciples, he set them to kingdom work. He had them do kingdom work all the time. You know, he sent out the 72. He said, here's what I'm doing. Now you go do it. You go get busy and go do the kingdom work. Now, Marcia sometimes will make a joke. Like, when I walk into the office and she's talking to somebody, she'll say aloud, okay, everybody look busy. The boss is here, right? It's kind of that similar scenario. It's like, okay, like, we're supposed to be doing stuff. And so Jesus is coming back. Let's do those things, right? And so the tension seems present in this passage. There's this havoc upon the world. There's this havoc upon humanity, right? There's a change in the air, is what these passages lead us to understand. And so when you see the signs, and you'll see those signs both in the world, and you'll see those signs in humanity, when you see them in both those places, get ready. Get ready, because your salvation depends upon it. Well, once again, that's kind of in stark contrast to what I understand about grace. It goes against grace. Get ready, because we don't want Jesus to be disappointed when he comes back, right? He left kingdom work in our hands. He said, here's the work to be done. And it's not just about being a moral person. Sometimes we think that being a Christian is just about, well, we're a good person. But there's actually work to be done. There's kingdom work to be done. It's about getting the world prepared for Jesus' return. Let's get the world ready. And so let's make preparations for Christ's return. What's involved in that? Well, I mean, I think about Jesus. What was Jesus doing? He was caring about others, and he was helping others, and he was teaching and instructing others, and he was giving to others, and he was about justice and justice for all people and not just his people. He was about providing strength to the weak, so let's do that. He was about feeding the hungry, and so let's do that. He was about giving voice to the voiceless, and so let's be doing that. And let's make sure not to overpower the powerless. He wouldn't be doing that. So this stuff should all sound familiar to you as Methodists. I think we've talked about it before. We should be doing the stuff that's about doing no harm and about doing good and about staying in love with God and knowing to do these things because we know the heart of Jesus. So do these things. When Christ returns, do these things, and he won't be disappointed. He won't look around and go, well, good try, y'all. Wouldn't that be like a cruddy deal? Like, to have Jesus show up and to kind of look at you and be like, well, you know, that'd be horrible. Jesus comes back and says, I'm really disappointed in what you've done here. You know, some of you all hate disappointing authority more than others, right? Some of you really strongly hate it. Some of you less than. My wife always told me that when she was a child, that she didn't get spanked much. She didn't need, now, and keep in mind that, you know, most of us here, we grew up in the day of spanking, right? You got out of line, there was a pretty quick consequence. And we grew up, my wife said that she didn't remember getting spanked that much, because my wife was the type that when her parents looked at her disapprovingly, it broke her little heart. and she would punish herself. She'd be like, I need to go to my room, don't I? Right? There she would go. I was a little bit like that. I mean, I was a not not a lot. But I remember the first time, like, I lied to my mom. I remember lying to my mom, and I remember getting caught in the lie, and she cried, and I felt horrible. I felt so bad that I had disappointed my mom. I was very disappointed. I think most of us, we wanted our parents to be proud of us. Most of us did. Like, we wanted that. It was always a sad day when they were less than proud in us. And some of us, we grow up with that sadness in our lives. That's what counseling's for, right? As adults, we grow up, we go to counseling. God, I feel like I'm still letting my mom down, right? We work that stuff out. I'm not sure how that works with Jesus so much. But we want him to be proud of us as followers, as his followers. In all that we do. You know, it was actually just a month or two ago, I was at Rotary, and we've been doing this thing in Rotary where you share about your career and what you're doing. You do it in a minute and a half. And there was a lady in our community, and you know, fairly prominent lady in what she does. And she kind of wrapped it all up by saying, I really hope that God's proud of who I am and the work that I'm doing. And she got a little choked up, like just saying that. I think most of us would want Jesus to be proud of the people that we are and the work that we're doing within our communities and our families and our lives. And so the first week of Advent, it's just a good time to think about that. Think about that. If Jesus came back tomorrow, what would he say to me in who I am and the work that I'm doing? Would he say, You're doing it. You're taking over the family business, because that's what it is. We're really in the family business of what Jesus taught us as God our Father, and so we're serving others. And he'd say, "Good job. You know, you're making me proud in the work that you've done to prepare for me." Or would he struggle with it? Are you struggling to follow Christ as closely as he wants you to? Have you become kind of self-serving in your life and in your actions? Have you become harmful? I hope nobody here is harmful, but could you be doing harm somewhere to somebody? Have you allowed apathy to settle in on you and you just kind of have a, I just don't care anymore attitude. I just don't care. Because if that's where you are, then Jesus might come and say, well, gosh, I'm a little disappointed. Like, I wanted so much more. I saw an article the other day. It's about young people and car issues. I'm transitioning a little bit here, but I'm going to come back, okay? It's about young people and car issues. A recent survey of Gen Z and millennials. I've got my daughter and her boyfriend here today, so here's some fine examples. A survey of Gen Z and millennial car owners reveals that it takes an average of 8 warning lights for them to schedule vehicle maintenance. However, 1 in 4 of these young adults tend to disregard and continue driving with broken speakers or a radio or excessive emissions or low tire pressure light or oil change light or scratches on the vehicle's body or windshield, right? And so 2 out of 3 say they're okay with their car not being up to par as long as it passes a state license safety test, which we all know it depends on where you take it, right? In order for that to happen or not. On average, it takes 5 breakdowns for Gen Zers and millennials to buy a new car, a newer car, right? A newer used car. And here are the top 4 reasons that they would get a newer car than what they have. The top 4 reasons are this. People stop driving their car and get a new one when the upkeep surpasses their budget, right? So they've got a budget amount, it goes over that. Or there are too many strange smells or sounds. The smell thing is kind of like, huh, what smells? Or too many parts have to be replaced. Or, and I know this group is guilty of this, or too much of it is being held together by duct tape. I've been there, done that. So as we approach Christmas, the birth of Jesus' first coming, Today's the reminder of the second coming, that he is going to come again. And so what I would ask is, please don't ignore the warning lights in your life. Please don't ignore those. Don't ignore the warnings we see in the world. The scriptures would even say the cosmos, the universe, like in all the places. Don't ignore those warnings. Don't ignore the warnings in your life today, right now, inside of you, right? Do things feel out of control for you right now? Do you feel like you're not living in a way that would please Jesus, and you know that? Are you living in a way that in your own life has led to brokenness, or brokenness in relationships, or it's causing harm and you see the harm? It's sowing seeds of distrust, and you see that distrust in your life and your family. If your life was a car, right? If you're a car, what warning lights are going off right now for you? What are the warning lights? Pay attention to those lights. Stop ignoring those lights. Do something about them. Make changes before it's too late, because we do not know the day or the hour, right? So the communion table, it calls you forward today. Christ is going to call you forward today. The body and blood of Jesus Christ, the reminder of his grace and his love that sustain us to do the work, that sustain us to do the things, that the kingdom things, to remind you of your call to serve the one who died for you, right? And so the faith meal asks of you a faithful response. The faith meal asks for a faithful response. A faithful response is what Jesus wants to see when he returns in you and in me. So, get ready. Be prepared and pay attention to the warning lights. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you will come again, and that when you come again, that you want to see your children about the family business and doing kingdom work. And so, Lord, this is a call to accountability today. And so for anyone in this room, Lord, if they had some things come up for them, if they had some warning lights come up for them, Lord, walk beside them and give us all the courage to address the things in our lives that keep us from you and from the things that you desire your children to be doing. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.